We present the Milligan Papers, written by John Antrobus, starring Spike Milligan, John Bluthal, Chris Langham, John Antrobus, George Chisholm, and the Gentleman of Jazz.
Who wants to be a millionaire? I don't. Oh, thank you, sir, and God bless you, sir.
Well, that's all right, unemployed fellow.
Oh, Jones, just one moment, sir. Excuse me, but only it's a fake.
What?
A counterfeit, sir. Go on, you bite it. That's the way to tell.
Yes, you're right, by Jove.
Oh, I hope you don't mind my mentioning it, sir.
Not at all. You know it's not often you come across a counterfeit tin cup.
Yes, we present From Rags to More Rags, a desperate tale of a young man's search for fame, fortune, and a social disease. Our story begins on the estate of Lord Glazing Glazing, better known to his friends as Double Glazing.
Spong! Spong!
Yes, sir.
What's it like to be poor?
It's horrible, sir. Horrible.
You mean it's not at all like being very rich? Like being the richest man in England?
No, sir. It's just the opposite, sir.
Well, let me work that out.
You mean it's like being me without any money?
No, it's like being me without any money.
Oh, dear, that must be dreadful.
It is, sir.
Being very, very poor like you fascinates me.
Yes, it is fascinating, sir. I often say to my wife, how fascinating it is to be very, very poor, darling. And she says to me...
Yes? What did she say to you?
She said goodbye.
Fascinating.
It's very fascinating.
Right, pack my toothbrush and 500 million pounds.
Yes, sir. Do you want some spending money as well, sir?
Yes, 3 buckets full.
I'll just empty the socks out, sir.
I'm going...
Shoo, what a scotcher.
I'm going to find the poorest man in England and change places with him.
Look no further, sir.
No, no, not you, Sponge. You're on a pound a year.
Sponge now. I was Spong. I'm Spong now. I don't know what you've been drinking, sir, but I'd like half a bottle. Oh.
And you've got a roof over your head, haven't you?
No. My cottage has not got a roof over my head, sir.
Well, when that cottage is finished, you will have.
That cottage has been finished for years, sir, like me. Will you be needing the power again tonight, sir?
Yes, well, what I don't understand about you, Spong, is why you don't join the Communist Party and rise up against us landed gentry and murder us all in our beds.
Well, sir, we have to make the beds afterwards. All those stains. You don't think of that, do you?
Yeah,
all you can think about is being murdered in your bed.
Yes, I do, but
who has to clear up the mess and the and that empty that bucket? We do, sir.
Yes.
We have to get the trams running again, sir.
Yes, I suppose so, Spong.
Spong again.
Well, let's find the poorest man in Britain.
Yes.
Let's get up to Tyne. Good chance of finding him there, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir. One moment, sir.
Oh?
You're not hatching a plot to exchange places with such a poor wretch, are you, sir?
Yes, I am, Spong.
Spong.
I'm sick and tired of being rich. I want to know what it's like to touch the depths of despair.
Oh, dear, sir. Where's my pound a year going to come from?
Just thinking about yourself, aren't you, eh?
Yes.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Spong.
I am deeply ashamed.
Good.
But I cannot keep myself in a state of shame, sir, for less than a pound a year. My lord, when you find this poor wretch, how long were you thinking of exchanging places with him, sir?
Well, how about 15 seconds? I don't think I could take much more than that.
Well, come on, let's get going.
Little did Lord Glazing Glazing realize that he was, in fact, of poor lineage. He had been born of desperately poor tenant farmers on his own estate, and exchanged, while in the cradle, by mad evolutionary scientist Terence Wacky. Thank you, that's enough. Wacky was incarcerated in a mental asylum for predicting the coming of the motor car.
Oh. Beep. Beep. No, no. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep. No. Brrr. No, no. Beep.
Good luck in your next job.
Oh, you're very interesting. What is all this making with the beep, beep?
Yeah, that's enough, thank you. Enough.
But could you do a mad laugh like that?
Of course
I mean, it's that easy. Could you do one as an announcer?
Of course I can.
Come on then, do a mad laugh.
Oh, now, where'd you are? While our announcer joins mad evolutionary scientist Tom Whitey in the jigsaw factory, things were taking a very strange stall down on the tenant farm. Which is all why all the cast is making them animal noises. And very nice. And very nice, too. Tom Dung. Son of Farmer Dung speaking. Hello. Was not really my son. He had been exchanged at birth for a wardrobe and a chamber pot, which came in very useful. He had, in fact, been born of Lady Draft Excluder, known to her friend as Lady Double Glazing. We find Tom down in the big bed. No. Tom down in the big bend.
Oh, sorry.
Big bend.
Well, here I am in the pig pen. It don't feel right.
I keep blushing when I look at pigs. Except Bessie here, yes. Who I know better than the others.
Good girl. Oh, you know, ever since Father married again, I felt like an intruder.
I'll try and get you one, sir.
I know he did right to advertise in the Mariner's Weekly for a new bride. And I can't say I find anything particularly wrong with leading stoker Sam Groin retired.
No, but I'm
dashed if I'll call him mother. I bet they're talking about me now. That's why I'm blushing. All nice and cozy round the kitchen fire where I'm doing the mucking out. Oh.
Oh, all right, Sam.
Oi! Hey, hard a starboard and hankle the winky bloaters.
I'm very worried about our Tom, Mother.
Oh.
I'm worried about you as well.
I am. And nothing that a good keel hauling won't put right. And
dare say you're right with your Are you enjoying smoking those curtains?
I'm all out of carpet.
It's good stuff.
Have you beat up in that flying saucer again, have you?
Oh, not recently, Sam.
No. Ain't been talking to the Lord of the Galaxy, then, have you?
Not since the last time, Sam. No, I...
What was that he told you?
Yes, what was that he told me, Mr. Groin?
Well, it was a warning, wasn't it?
It were.
Yes.
A
warning.
It were a gale warning.
Oh.
Cromedy's Dower
Fairisle fishnet.
Ah,
God.
Well, they give them out on the BBC.
Oh, I know that.
I didn't think he knew that.
Why, no. I know
enough.
Father! Oh, yes.
Father, mother, pay attention.
All right.
I can't take it anymore.
I told you, those enemas were upsetting the balance of his mind, Sam.
Right.
No, it's not the enemas. It's the feeling we don't belong here. I'm going up London.
He's going London. Did you hear that, son? He's going on London.
No, I hear up Wolverhampton.
Well, then I'll go up Wolverhampton and then up London.
I'd like to point out at this stage that my position in this story has become quite untenable.
What's that about?
I'm only here to do the linking announcement. I only come in just before the show starts to have a cup of tea with the cast and to talk about the day's racing at Newbury, that sort of thing. And now here I am in a locked ward with Terence Wacky, the mad evolutionary scientist. Stop it! You'll go blind. If some kind listener would inform the BBC that I'm being held here against my will.
That is very interesting. Sir, you have the delusions that you are Director General of the BBC.
Yeah. No. No, I'm an announcer.
Ah, this week an announcer, next week a Director General, and soon the world!
I do sometimes get the awful feeling, Doctor, that I'm the Scottish George Chisholm and his Gentleman of the Jazz and up London.
Up London? Did you hear any music?
No, I wouldn't describe it that way.
Oh?
It's more like this.
Mother!
Sound effects out of control, sir.
Whoa! Whoa! Oh!
Oh, blast the BBC Sound Library. Whoa!
More, whoa!
Stop that brigade of guards! Whoa! And...
Driver, see that all the men are fed and quartered.
What time will you be needing the brigade of guards again, sir?
At quack o'clock.
Quack o'clock? Right, sir. I'll set my duck for the right time.
Right. Is that a Greenwich Mean Duck?
It is, sir.
You don't see a lot of them about.
About what, sir?
About quack o'clock.
Right, sir.
So saying, I walked into my club. I thought I was walking into my club. My club was next door.
Hello, double glazing.
Hello, Boofy.
Get up for a drink, would you?
Boofy, you might be wondering what I'm doing in time.
Well, if it's the usual, I wouldn't like your laundry bill.
No, Boofy. I'm because I'm dissatisfied with the way I'm living.
Are you?
Yes, I want to find the poorest man in Britain and change places with him.
Well, I'm down to my last million.
Well, that doesn't make you the poorest man in Britain.
Doesn't it?
Are you sure? There are lots and lots of people out there on the streets this very day, Boofy, who are worth less than £1 million.
God, how awful. No wonder they dress so badly. God, look at the time. It's clock clock.
I think your chicken's a little fast.
Yes, I was probably wrong to curry it. But no, I love a vindaloo.
Well, you could have trouble with the family there.
Hers or mine?
Well, I was thinking of mine.
Yes, you always do. You're so selfish.
Excuse me, Boofy, just while I announce this next scene.
Well, if that's your attitude, I'll go and climb a mountain.
Boofy! Where are you?
Well, it's a funny thing. I'm up at the top of Mount Everest.
Hang on!
All right.
And now, dear listeners, owing to the indisposition of the announcer, it falls to me to say, now we find two very poor men in a cardboard box under the arches at Charing Cross. Thank you.
Boofy! Boofy!
Over here, double glazing. Did you bring the surfers?
No. Only the Ovaltine and the appliance.
Have you got the cardboard box? I caught a cardboard box in Cairo.
I knew her well.
Yes, mate. We should be inside it, mate, at Charing Cross. Not halfway up a bleeding mountain.
Yeah. We didn't get the proper introduction, mate.
We're well-drawn working-class cameos, mate.
That's right, mate. Now that bleeding announcer's gone the nut ass with Terence Bucky, the mad evolutionary scientist. Here, that blow on the nuts to Terence Bucky has stopped the blizzard.
Yes. You noticed that, yes. Yes, it's because it's all happening inside my head, you see. Ha ha ha!
What? For God's sake, there are other patients here trying to get some sleep.
Mate, we're in the cardboard box now.
Yeah, but don't you give the credit to Terence Wacky, will you?
No, mate. I won't give the credit to Terence Wacky.
Being inside his head, mate, would pose all sorts of philosophical questions that they're ill-equipped to answer.
Oh, mate, here. Here, do you think we're written by waiting for Beckett? He's very good, isn't he?
Yeah, mate, if we'd been written by waiting for Beckett, we could do this in French. Comprendes?
My certainment.
Certainment? Oui, oui. Here. Have a look outside.
Outside what?
Outside the cardboard box, you twin.
Yeah, all right. It's gold.
Gold?
What's a gold? Outside. Outside is a gold.
That's very philosophical, that is, you know. That's solid. Is a gone?
Yeah, well, I think we should be rewritten.
Oh, what is?
Well, philosophers.
No, no. You have to start as a philosopher's mate. First mate.
What? Holding all the tools?
Well, if you put it that way.
You mean they wouldn't let us unblock the cars to start with on our own?
No, that's too philosophical.
Oh,
unblocking the cars? Who do you think you are? Socrates?
Well, what about clearing the gutter of leaves? Could we do that in our first year?
Listen, mate,
yeah?
I ain't a bean to Hoxford. It's no good asking me.
Hello, Lord Double Glazing here. Anyone in this humble cardboard box?
Here. Where are you, sir?
Outside.
There's no outside.
Well, I brought some with me. I knew you were in straitened circumstances.
I wonder what the pain was. Door opens. Here, this in Charing Cross.
What's outside, mate?
It's the Himalayas.
Look here, beggars can't be choosers.
Oh, yes, we can, mate.
We can, mate.
Yes, we chose this box.
Yes.
It's an Arab's cardboard box, isn't it, mate?
Yes, it is, mate.
There.
Really, how interesting. What was in it originally?
We were, mate.
But it says here on the box, one upright piano.
Yeah, mate. But when you get it home and unpack it,
tell him, mate.
You're up about piano. Hmm? And say you want to move across the room, then Howard's put in a couple of delivery men so they can do it for you.
Then why argue with the piano?
Well, when they took the piano out, they chucked the box away without looking to see if there was anything else inside. Didn't they, mate?
Yes, mate.
Yes, mate.
Yes.
So, that's how you came to be in the box?
No.
No.
Never mind. Here comes Tom looking for some plot development with Bessie, his pig.
Oh, what a lovely day for a walk in the Himalayas, Bessie.
Oh. My name's Lord Double Glazing.
His name is Lord Double
Glazing. And I'm the richest man in England.
Ooh.
Look!
What a price to keep it.
How? How would you like to change places with me for 15 seconds?
Hear that, Bessie? There's a lot we could do in 15 seconds. We could.
Come along. I grow tired of my wealth. Let's make the exchange now.
Oh, so this is what it's like. Oh, first, Bessie, I'm going to buy a velvet coat for you, my favourite pig. Then I'll give a ball, a grand ball. I must write the invitations quickly. I'll get married to a princess. Yes, there's still time. We'll have four children and be so happy. What shall I call them? No, I'll call the first one Olive. I'll call the second one Olive. And I'll call the third one Olive. Well, no, I don't like that name. I'll call the fourth one Olive. And I'll call the second one Byron. I'll call the fifth one Bicycle. Where's the princess?
Key!
Oh, well, Bessie, it was nice while it lasted. At least we can say we've been rich. And after all, though fame and fortune have slipped away again, I've still got the social disease. Got something to show for it.
You silly, twisted boy.
Oh, my God.
What do you think? You think he'll come tonight, then? The Lord of the Galaxy. Then?
Well, if he do, we'll put him in the spare room.
I didn't know you had one. Where do you keep it?
I keep it in the spare room.
That's a good arm, Boris.
Oh, I felt better for it.
Wait a minute.
My name's not Boris.
Well, what is it then?
I don't know till a man comes round.
Oh, you're bringing you a new name, is he?
I couldn't spell the last one.
and you shall be called Nathan.
Oh, thank you very much. Dung.
Nathan Dung, that's right. Now, if you have any trouble with it, give us a call.
Where will you be?
Well, I'll be over there in that field over there. I'll be thinking up some new names, because I do the old neighborhood, you see. Yeah, 24-hour service, night and day.
You are the one.
Pardon?
Night and day. You are the one. Only you've been at the moon and under the sun. Look at this, darling.
Yes, darling. You'll name that later. Right.
Oh. Oh, it must be the hot weather. Now then.
Have you got a name for this store?
Well, we did call it Leonard, but it never worked.
But if the council come round and find you without a name for your kitchen door, you'll be in trouble.
Well, we just called her kitchen door, darling.
I name this kitchen door Rambo 2. Sign here.
Well, thank you very much. I'll just open the Rambo 2 for you. Who was that then? Was that the Lord of the Galaxy? No, he didn't come today. It were the district namer.
So, you think they're all in the BBC program?
Yes, Doctor.
Very interesting. You're not in a hospital.
Not really, no.
But you want me to discharge you.
That's true. Yes, Doctor, because I have to announce the end of the show.
You're not happy here? You don't like the curtains?
I love the curtains.
Well, I hate the curtains. That drab green with the sickly yellow spots. Who can go there with such curtains? Not me, baby. Get out of here. How dare you come into my office and play with mine curtains? I have to see my next patient. Vorbis do, Terence Zavacki.
Look, please ask him, Doctor, how he intends to resolve the story that he swapped two babies at birth, the rich for the poor, and vice versa, to prove an evolutionary point.
You want to know how the story ends?
Yes, please, for everyone's sake.
I'm afraid we won't get any sense out of that chicken.
Well, before I go, Doctor, I'd like to say one thing.
What is that, Hein?
Take it away, boys.
That's not good for me. Take it away.
That was The Milligan Papers, starring Spike Milligan with John Bluthal, Chris Langan, and John Antrobus, who also wrote the script. Announcements from Eugene Fraser, with music by George Chisholm and his Gentlemen of Jazz. The producer was Paul Spencer.